So, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 12. Raghuna converses with Jad Bharat, and it's text number 12, 5, 12, 12. Rahu Ganayat Tapasa Na Yati Rahu Ganayat Tapasa Na Yati Na Chejaya Nirvapanad Grahadva Na Chejaya Nirvapanad Grahadva Na Chachandasa Neva Jalagni Surya Na Chandasa Neva Jalagni Surya Vina Mahat Pada Rajo Abhishekam Vina Mahat Pada Rajo Abhishekam Rahu Gane Tapatapsa Nayati Nache Jaya Nirvapanad Grahadva Nachandasa Neva Jalagni Surya Vina Mahat Pada Rajo Abhishekam. Rahugana, O King Rahugana, Etat, this knowledge, Tapasa, by severe austerities and penances, Nayati, does not become revealed. Na, not. Cha, also. Ejaya, by a great arrangement for worshipping the deity. Nirpanat, or from finishing all material duties and accepting sannyas. Grahat, from ideal householder life. Va, or na, nor. Chandasa, by observing celibacy or studying Vedic literature. Na eva, nor. Jala Agni Surya, by severe austerities such as keeping oneself in water, in a burning fire, or in the scorching sun. Vina, without. Mahat, of the great devotees. Padraja, the dust of the lotus feet. Abhishekam, smearing all over the body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. My dear King Rahugna, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life, leaving home as a vanprast, accepting sannyas, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Purport. Actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktau. One cannot attain the perfection of spiritual life simply by following the direction of the Vedas. One has to approach a pure devotee. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmade anamrita. By the grace of such devotee, one can understand the absolute truth, Krishna, and one's relationship with Him. A materialistic person sometimes thinks that simply by executing pious activities and remaining at home, one can understand the absolute truth. That is denied in this verse. No one can understand the absolute truth simply by observing the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, celibacy. One only has to serve the pure devotee. That will help one understand the absolute truth without fail. Om Agyanam Trimdasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunantam Yene Tasme Shri Gurve Namah. Namah Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtacha Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Trabhyascha Kripa Sindhye Vicha Patita Nam Pavne Bhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavanda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, continuing with this conversation with Jad Bharat, Ravagana, King Ravagana. And this actually is a very nice, very important verse. And what Jad Bharat is telling Ravagana Maharaj is that, reading the translation again, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of household life, leaving home as vanprastha, accepting sannyas or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water, or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. So, to prepare for it, this lecture, you know, I generally do the search on Veda base. So I was looking for the combination of the dust plus feet. Have you done that in one EPDA? Yeah. So, it said in it there were 2,352 references of dust plus feet. So, I'm not going to go through all of them. In fact, it's not possible. I did about 50 or 60. And what came out is Prabhupada quotes this verse many times in his purports elsewhere. And this is the secret of success. We talk about chanting the holy name. And then as you go deeper into it, Prabhupada several places writes, chanting the holy name and getting the association, the mercy, or the dust at the feet of the Vaishnavas. So, actually there is another verse which is quoted in this context, and I thought I will read that. And that is almost the same wording, just about, is by Prahlad Maharaj. That is given by Prahlad Maharaj when he's talking to his father, Hiranyakashipu. And I thought I would read that for you, and you can decide for yourself. Just reading the translation. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way one can be freed from material contamination. So this is very, very important that we take the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? the literal meaning is also true. You can go and I think the devotees who have been to Mayapur, if you've done parikrama, the first time I did the parikrama, which is walking around the Mayapur and Navadvip, right in the beginning, the guide of the devotee who's in our group, he said, "Be very careful that as you go through the villages, the Bengalis, the devotees, will come to you and just come right at your feet. Be very careful." I don't know if that has happened to anyone. Huh? Yeah, it's like it becomes almost a problem. Because, a couple of things. One, also that you may hurt them. They just come from nowhere. It's like they're looking for the opportunities, like a cat going after a mouse. You're walking, all of a sudden they just come from everywhere. And I was really shocked the first few times. And all they want to do is get the dust off your feet. And they're really following that thing, even though I don't think they have gone through all this, but it's a tradition. And and they come by the droves. It's not like one place, and it's just by everywhere that you walk through. And so now I'm realizing the importance of that. Also, at least in North India, I've seen in almost all the temples, and if you've observed, when people go into the temple, the general folks, as they go through every step, they just do like this on the steps. And I've been trained to do that too. I saw my father, grandfather, we all do that. I always wondered about that, as to, is there just a ritual, is that we don't want to bow down, inconvenience ourselves to go fully done works while they're doing that. But essentially, the general masses, the devotees, when you go on the steps of the temple, then obviously the feet of the devotees have been on those steps, and they're just trying to take the dust of the feet. So as I see many brahmacharis trying to do that, and others too. In ISKCON, has become a sort of fun tradition, trying to take the dust. So, what is so special about the dust? Anyone? What is so special about the dust? Reading elsewhere, the Lord Vishnu, he's talking to Kumaras. Now, anyway, if you think about talking about Kumaras, the Kumaras actually became saints. They were, as we all know, that they were impersonalists, and they actually became saints by what? By smelling the aroma of the tulsi leaves that were on the feet of Lord Vishnu, and Prabhupada also writes, and by the dust of the feet. Now, so a couple of things. Is Krishna's feet, do they have dust on them? Dirt? Think about it. And what the sages have said, that we always talk about the lotus feet, And so the lotus inside, I guess you can call the stamens or the pistils, what they call the inside, they have this red saffron-like particles. And really, the dust on the feet of Lord Vishnu consists of these saffron-like particles that are full of Lord's mercy. Okay? And as we know from the Srila Prabhupada, he's sitting at the feet of Lord Krishna. So the pure devotees of the Lord, they are so close, so they're so dear to Krishna, that they're sitting at the feet of Krishna and they are soaking this dust. They're imbibing, inhaling this dust. It also means that, and they're listening to all that is coming out of the Lord's mouth. And some have said that that is also sort of the saffron coming out of Lord Krishna's mouth. And the devotees are like bees. The bees go after inside the lotus flower to take the honey. So the pure devotees of the Lord are like the bees who are humming or hovering over the feet of the Lord and really taking the nectar. And unless and until, and so then they are full of it. And therefore, the only way, which I don't know if we should say the word only way, but Prabhupada does mention a couple of times, is the only way is that then when we associate with that dust of the feet of the pure devotees, then we have hope and we can get salvation, go back to Godhead. By the way, has anyone of you seen a picture of baby Krishna? He's laying down and he's sucking on his toe. I wondered about that, why he's doing that. Any thoughts on that? Anyone? Huh? Yeah, no. He's thinking, is why? How come all the devotees, my devotees, want to touch my feet? Why are they coming and touching my feet? So he said, there must be something in my toe or feet. So he's saying that I should also taste that. And then, so that is at least one explanation. I read that someplace, and I'm thinking a long time back, I read that Krishna is actually, it's not that he's just a child, most children have a tendency to suck their thumb, but Krishna actually is sucking his toe thumb. And so he's actually trying to test why the devotees are so crazy after my feet. Elsewhere, so that's how the Kumaras became devotees, by doing the aroma. And then, as you know, the Kumaras got upset with the Jaya-Vijaya, and they were being cursed. And so Lord Vishnu came outside. And in that time, Lord Vishnu is praising the Kumaras and all. And then there he says, Lord Vishnu is saying that my devotees, that I am a servant of my devotees. And in fact, I carry the dust of their feet on my head. So this is what that round robin or the catch 22. The devotees are trying to take the dust of the feet of Krishna, and Krishna is trying to take the dust of the feet of the devotees. We have that famous play that we do in ISKCON. Krishna has a headache. Have you done that over here in Radesh? For those who don't know, God, Krishna, he does get sick once in a while. Anyway, so he had a headache. And Narad Muni happened to come by and he saw Krishna was very forlorn and, tired and everything else. What's the matter? He said, I have a headache. And so he goes around and said, what can I do for that? He said, well,
And he starts saying, you know, you can take some hot tea and you know, all those things. And he says, no. The only thing that will cure me is the dust of the feet of my devotees. So can you get that from me? He said, no problem. So he comes down. I mean, the dust is found on earth. I mean, there's no dust, I guess, in Vaikuntha. I don't know. So he comes down, and as the story goes, he starts with the Brahmins, and that fits in with this verse. The Brahmins are doing all the rituals and so on and so forth to find the absolute truth. And so, I mean, things, well, they must be the devotees of Krishna. So I should go and get the dust of their feet. So they go to the Brahmanas and say, excuse me, sir, you know, I know you're busy, but can I take the dust from your feet? He said, what do you mean? You want us to go to hell? I mean, that's an offense to give the dust of your feet to Krishna. He is worshipable. So he said, Narada, please go away. You know. So he does that, and then the story goes on. They build that. They go to a sort of regular materialist, and this in the play, at least they show Mataji, you know, she's like a embodiment of Goddess Lakshmi, you know, and they go there and say, well, knock on the door, what can I do for you? Well, you know, can I have the dust of your feet? And she says, dust? My house doesn't have dust. I mean, the maid just came yesterday. I mean, today he cleaned everything. Are you seeing any dust in Narada Muni? There's no dust in the house. What do you mean? So he says, well, this is the issue. He says, well, Narada Muni, you're crazy. You know, if you have a headache, you take aspirin, Advil, ibuprofen. You know, you go to a doctor. You don't take dust. That's contaminated. It's dirty. I mean, you'll get, in fact, more allergies than with it. So Narada Muni leaves there, and so he goes like this. Finally, he ends up in Vrindavan with the gopis. Gopis are the dearmost devotees of Krishna. So he, as soon as he comes there, the gopis at once says, Narada Muni, it seems like you have been to our Lord Krishna. How's he? He says, well, I have some bad news. He's got a headache. And the gopis started to worry and cry. So, so what can we do for him? He says, well, I hate to say this, but he wants the dust of your feet. And the gopis thought for like 10 seconds, and they started digging a dust pit in the dirt there, and started, you know, dirtying their feet in it. And he said, what are you doing? He said, well, he's got a headache and he wants the dust, so we're making sure he has enough dust. And Narada said, well, aren't you afraid that you may go to hell? Because, you know, really, he's Supreme Personality of Godhead, worshipable, and, you know. And he said, they said, no problem. We can go to hell for all our lives as long as our dear Lord is cured of his headache. So you can see the exchange, and that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that, you know, all I want to do is I want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the gopis, you know, of the gopis, das and das. So this dust is very important. One last thing, then we'll move forward. Any recent examples that anyone can think of where by getting the dust somebody became knowledgeable or had all the truths revealed to him? Anyone? I'm trying to think if someone's thinking the same thing I am. Any examples? Anyone? Somebody who got knowledge after receiving the dust of a pure devotee? So I don't know if you read the Ray of Krishna, Ray of Vishnu, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur Maharaj. He writes, or he says, that he was aspiring from, Gaurakshas Babaji. Babaji was refusing. And if you know, he said, I should do some service. And so he was cleaning the latrine area where Babaji used to go. And finally Babaji got impressed and he relented. He said, okay, I'll make you a disciple. And at that time, It's part of the process. Gaurav Babaji put his foot on the top of the head of Bhakti San Maharaj. And I've read it twice. I think Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's book and also the other one. He says that, Bhakti San Maharaj says that when he did that, he said, at that moment I felt that all the transcendental knowledge of the Vedas and everything had been revealed to me. I mean, when you think about Bhakti San Maharaj was such a knowledgeable person, such a knower of the Vedas and the Sanskrit and mathematics and astrology, astronomy. And so when he said it was at that moment when he put his toe on my head that I felt everything was revealed to me. So I think you should all, at the end of the class, go to Tathvit Prabhu and get his dust. That's... and Mataji is over there. We have to believe the scriptures. Now, Prabhupada also says that by dust is really serving the Guru. And if you take it, if you understand, if you all have read chapter 434, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, right? That one has to tadvidhi pratipatena, paripreshna sevaya. That, and Prabhupada writes in the purport, I can read the purport here, which is very interesting. Prabhupada says, the translation to this text 34, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, I'll read only a few sections of it, the path of spiritual realization is undoubtedly difficult. And that's what Jad Bharat is telling Raghunam. You cannot really understand Krishna through the Vedas, through austerities, through penances, rituals, because there's so many. And they're so, seems like so contradictory, and it's like there's no end to them. So he says, Prabhupada saying, is the Lord therefore advises us to approach a bona fide spiritual master in the line of district succession from the Lord himself. Then further he writes, not by independent study of books of knowledge can one progress in spiritual life. One has to approach a bona fide spiritual master to receive the knowledge. Such a spiritual master should be accepted in full surrender, and one should serve the spiritual master like a menial servant without false prestige. Satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master is a secret of the advancement in spiritual life. So here also is saying is that we serve the spiritual master in every capacity. And Prabhupada writes elsewhere that we serve him by vapu and vani. So vapu means serving his physical form menially. Whatever he wants us to do, or whatever we can do. Cleaning his clothes, that has dust in it. You know, if you think about it. serving him, you know, massaging, you know, many devotees are very fortunate to do that. So all those things. And then serving him by the vani, by his instructions. Okay? So Prabhupada writes elsewhere that when the devotees of the Lord, pure devotees, when they're sitting on the feet, they're imbibing, inhaling that dust. And then it again comes out in their speech, in their vani, just pours out. And so it behooves us, all of us, to take that instruction, that vani, and then serve the Guru. Okay? So that's the importance of serving the spiritual masters menially through instructions in every way we can to really get the success in spiritual life. What's also more important now is, so if somebody may ask, what about chanting? We have chanting and we have, getting the dust also means really association. Association with the devotees. And so both things are there, and Prabhupada at one place he says, there are two stages to bhakti. One is the sadhana bhakti, Veda bhakti, that's stage number one. And second is raghunuga bhakti. Sadhana bhakti, we start with following the regulative principles, chanting the holy name. And then comes raghunuga bhakti. When we're ready for it, then we start serving the Lord spontaneously and more sort of closely. And that's the part of the, you can say, the dust part. So one needs both. But then in another place, Prabhupada writes that the Vaishnava association of the Vaishnava is so pure and so powerful. He said, what to speak of his dust? If one just sees him from a distance, then one can get purified. So the last point is that let's not get maybe too technical, but we have to chant, we have to take the dust, the lotus feet, by serving the master. And really, above all, the importance is really to get the association of a pure devotee, even if it's only for like 1 second. Because just in that association, they give us everything. So there are so many other things that we can talk about. Actually, every morning in Guru Puja, you say that, right? You start with that, Shri Guru Charana Pada Kamala. And same thing, that our rightful position is to be serving at the feet of our spiritual master, and that will get us everything that we need in life. So, any questions or comments? I've collected about 20 pages. I can read all that if you like. But yes. That is a process. Ashtanga Yoga generally, there are several places where Prabhupada writes on this. Chapter 6, we know that. The Ashtanga Yoga itself, yoga means to link ourselves with the Supreme. What comes in our way from linking with Krishna? What is the obstacles? The biggest obstacle is the mind. So the Ashtanga process yoga is really designed to control our mind. We may be sitting here and you can see the mind is going everywhere. Some want to sleep, some are thinking of prasadam that's coming up in half an hour, so on and so forth. And so the Ashtanga process is really designed to control our body and the mind, which come in the way of linking with Krishna. But it really does not give you anything beyond that. People who do that, you do get some mystic powers, you do get siddhis, but there are 9 siddhis that you can get, but we can get only 8. Krishna, that's why he's called Navyogendra. He can get 9. So, I mean, we can never get to Krishna by just getting the power itself. We can get some jnana, But when you go to the step above, when you do that, it leads us to mental speculation. The Ashtanga Yoga helps, but it is not the ultimate medicine. It is like an aid that, you know, if you're walking, it may be like a stick. But ultimately, one has to serve Krishna to know. Krishna can only be revealed by His own grace. It's like no matter how much you try, for example, to know the president of a country, or say even your father or mother, you cannot really know them till they tell you what's on their mind. You know, it's like the child, he tries to know his father. But who knows the father best? Mother, the wife. She says, okay, now, Ian, don't you go now. He's in a very bad mood. Because the wife serves the husband. It would be the other way around also. So she knows what's a good time to approach the father. And so the child, if he just serves them, he cannot really know the father by reading his biography or by other things. Only when he serves, when he or she serves the parents, then he knows them. So it is not the ultimate process. And then Arjun tells in chapter 6 afterwards that, Krishna, you've told me this process, but it's not workable because it's very difficult to control the mind. Okay? Anyone else? Yes. Yes. And that is very true. That is very true. However, if the devotee is really pure that you are trying to touch, even doing that in fun would have a very positive effect. Now, if you touch mine, nothing will happen, okay? It's like that. No, but it's like somewhere Prabhupada said that even a glance by a devotee, if he's a pure devotee, will change your life. I don't know if I've told the story here, but there, Hanuman Prasad Swami said once that there's a devotee in the Miami temple, and he came to Krishna consciousness very late, and he was telling Maharaj, and Maharaj was asking him, so how did you come to Krishna consciousness? He said, I remember seeing Prabhupada on a beach in Florida. And he said, we were just like, there was spring break or something, we were just partying, dancing, chanting, yeah, I mean, beer and everything else in our swimsuits. And he says, and that the devotees were walking, Prabhupada was walking with his morning fog, I don't know what it was. And he said, there was just a, he looked at the party and he said he had an eye contact with Srila Prabhupada. This is like way far in distance. And he said he still remembers that Prabhupada, his eyes, like Prabhupada was telling him, okay, you can have your fun, but I'll wait for you, or you can come in. And he said, it was almost like, he said 15 to 17 years. That one, he never forgot the glance, and it took him that much years to finally come to the temple. And he still thinks that just that glance, you know, it's like that changed his life. Same thing, I think you probably read on Dhanwat's, which is a very, very impressive. He said, about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I don't know if you read that. He said, when Prabhupada came on Jaladut and landed in Boston, at the harbor, or just before that, there was another Navy ship of U.S. Navy was standing there. And so I guess it's a common protocol that when the ships come in, they sort of salute each other. And so because Jaladut was coming in, the Navy ship, I think they bow down their stern, what do they call it, the flagpole, what it is. And it said that at that time, when this happening, Prabhupada was standing on the deck, on the top deck, on this side, and on the other side, there was a black officer standing there. And he said, it was like, you can see it was very far off. I mean, it's not even as close to the beach, because the ships have to be far off without the collide. And the officer remembers that he looked at the saintly person, and he remembers that Prabhupada kind of acknowledged like this, I've seen you, and there was the end of it. As you can tell, the black officer, supposedly, was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So, we have to believe those things. And that's, so I said in the beginning that we do for fun, but even fun, if that happens to be, you know, pure devotee, then we are in luck. Anyway, but you're right. Basically, you're right, yeah. It's not a trivial thing. We should be taken very seriously. We should be consider ourselves very fortunate to have that. And when you lose that, you're right, then you have lost the essence. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes, sadhana bhakti, that's what it is. Our process is learning. That's how you get sanskars. You know, I remember as a child, I got many of those sanskars from my grandfather. Every Tuesday he would take me to the temple. You know, studies or no studies, I would go. And then we used to go to the Hanuman temple. I still remember there were 164 steps. And we were counting and we were doing this. As we went up, we were doing this. Maybe that's how I ended up in ISKCON, I do not know. But you know what I'm saying is, so you're right. So our process, this Prabhupada gave us the sadhana process, bhakti process. We just learn by imitation, by not cheap imitation, but by following the gurus. Yes. And the real Vaishnava, you don't even have to ask. By just his presence, by just his glance, he gives it to you. That's the other part. When you see, there's so many instances of, you know, of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, the devotees talk about it, and even strangers talk about it, that by just looking at Srila Prabhupada, they felt their life had been improved. I mean, or their life had been changed by just getting that moment's association. That is very true. Any other comment? Yes. Yeah, so for that matter, that's always a good discussion point. Who do you consider a devotee? Because on one hand, you're right, I've also wondered, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that anyone who's taken the name of Krishna once, he's worshipable. But then we also have these three classes of devotees, you know. And one of my realization is, and in fact, Prabhupada writes that the real devotee does not think he's devotee. He thinks he's so fallen and that he constantly needs the mercy. I mean, that's like, in fact, you see in Prabhupada, people always have said that while defending or preaching about Krishna or when bashing Mayavadis, he was like a lion. But in his personal life, thus means humility. He was so humble. In fact, the line that I always quote and is very dear to my heart, Prabhupada says, I have no qualifications. If there's one qualification that I have, is that I tried to serve the instruction of my Guru Maharaj. He said, that's the only qualification I have. Because people ask me, you've opened this big, you know, movement, you've done all this. He said, no, that's all the mercy or the power of the instruction of my Guru Maharaj. He said, I'm a fool. And he meant it. I don't think it was like false humility. So then when Prabhupada said that, I think in relation to those karmi reporters, practical point of view, he's saying, yes, anyone who comes to ISKCON has done so many pious activities in his past life. Prabhupada writes that to enter Vishnu temple, and you think there are 450 ISKCON centers, and you know, and anyone who enters, Prabhupada says, anyone who enters the Vishnu temple means that he has done, you know, thousands or a whole heap of pious activities in his pious life. Otherwise, you cannot even enter the Vishnu temple. So, from that perspective, the fact that all of us have entered a Vishnu temple, more than a Vishnu temple, compared to someone outside, yes, and that's a matter of association. But that doesn't mean that we should be proud. That as soon as we become proud, and that sometimes devotees happen, oh, he's a karmi and he's, you know, to heck with him, this and that, then he falls down. Because as soon as you start saying, I'm better than the others, then humility is gone. And that is the crown jewel of the devotees. And so Prabhupada, yes, so from that perspective, he said, all the ISKCON devotees are somewhere, he says, even better than demigods, you know, they have all the good qualities. But then on the other hand, he said, I'll be successful if I can have just one devotee who becomes a pure devotee. And for that matter, we have one for sure, and that is, we celebrated his disappearance day, it was Jayananda Prabhu. Prabhupada did say he is a saint. And he was, you know, so it's a whole range. You cannot just, it's a matter of degree and steps, you know, that one puts in. Yes, bro. Yeah. That's a good point. And I think I remember reading that Prabhupada says smearing or would also mean smearing yourself with all the knowledge of the instructions, all the vani that the guru is giving. When he speaks out, those particles, they just flow out in the air. And if you smear them with that, so I say.
Covering, take as much as you can. Don't limit yourself, okay, I took one particle. Again, that will work. But again, say, the medicine has to be taken in good quantity, right? Anyway, you had a point.
Yeah, that's true. That's the same thing with prasadam. You hear many times instructions by gurus, please do not give it to someone else. And it's a sign of humility, but it's also saying that, see, we have to protect ourselves also. And that is also, you're taking somebody else's karma, and the devotee is saying, well, I'm not pure enough that I can handle all the karma, and then I will fall down. So it's a matter of self-protection also now. That's why I said, Prabhupada was at one place. Prabhupada was like the sun. For sun, it really doesn't matter where it shines. Sun is so pure, that it will purify anything. The sun rays can go over a garbage dump and it will purify it. However, if we go over a garbage dump, quote-unquote, we are pure, we do our 16 rounds, this and that. Garbage dump being like, I think Rami Prabhu was saying, he went to South France. He said, well, you know, it was very difficult. You start getting to Maya. I mean, that South France is like a garbage dump, wine and everything else, wine, women, and cheese, and so forth. You can get contaminated, not, even though it's pure. But, you know, Prabhupada has one standard. The sannyasis have one standard of purity. And so there, that's where it comes in, that they're saying, out of humility and out of knowing that, you know, I can only handle karma of the disciples I have. I really cannot take any more. And that's very true. So to save someone else, first we have to save ourselves. And so one should know the capacity, you know, as to... because Prabhupada, in many cases, initiated... Without all sort of the rules that we have now, 1 year of 16 round chanting and all those things. Because he was like the sun. I mean, he could purify even the animals or the birds and the bees. I mean, they have so much karma on them. That's why we have that low form, but it all depends. Does that answer what I'm saying? Yeah. Yes. At least on prasadam is true. On prasadam is true. Prasadam that when somebody eats what you've eaten, then you're taking my karma. Yeah. Yeah, but then the disciple touches his feet. Same thing as giving the karma to him. Or yeah. No. yeah, that's true. Yeah. So Maybe I didn't hear what she said. I thought she was saying that, you know, when you touch someone's feet, then and the guru said, don't touch. We tend to withdraw. Unlike the professional gurus who stick their feet out and have people come by the droves. You see that in Indian pandal programs, and they touch. And they don't realize, and that's why they eventually all fall down. Our gurus tend to retreat because they're saying, I don't want more karma than I can handle. You see what I'm saying? So that's why in this country, I mean, it happens to almost all devotees. You know, when I went to even Brussels, when I go to the Indians, the first tendency for them is to you know, touch feet. And I withdraw because, I mean, I have problems just keeping my own self, what to speak, you know. But then on the other hand, the only place where I sort of relent is the point that I think Bhagavati Mahārāja was making, that when it comes to small children, these parents really want them to bow down and learn that thing. They'll say, you know, otherwise how will they learn to respect? And so even then, I avoid the physical contact, but I would let them bow because the children are learning there. So that's the whole point. It's like sometimes you get into a very, very difficult situation. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. See, when you think about it, we seem to get so many visitors here, right? Right. I mean, yesterday we had a whole group of children, right? Now, but that's when you take a look at the total attendance that we get compared to what is the population of the world? 7 billion. And when you include all the birds and the bees and the mosquitoes and all that stuff, a very small percentage of all living entities that are in this world do enter a Hare Krishna temple. I know in Manor we get, you know, 60,000, 100,000 people in Janmashtami. They'll repeat, but I'm saying you have news, but you say, wow, there's so many. But so many compared to what? When you take, you know, 500,000 people out of 6-7 billion, that's not even 1%. So it is true. The Shastras say that. Now, that doesn't mean that once you come in temple, you may not fall down again. Maya, the Prabhupada said, Maya standing outside. This Maya standing right outside the door of the temple. And people always say that, Prabhuji, when we come in temple, we feel so good, but something happens when we walk out. we all agree, right? You just go out and the whole thing starts, right? You took this of mine and I took that of yours, and why, you know, and you're disturbing me and all those good things, isn't it? So, anyway, we should stop here. Thank you very much for your interaction. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.